do hope and pray that you'll be faithful to the house of the Lord at 5 o'clock on Sunday evening for the Hampton Road School of the Bible graduation. One of my great mentors and friends in the ministry, Brother Earl McGuffey, is coming. He'll be bringing the commencement message. He'll also be preaching during the AM service, and I think you'll find him very engaging. He's very knowledgeable in the Word of God. Early in my ministry, when I was at a different church in the same town where he pastored as well, if I had any questions or I just need some help about some thoughts or what was the right thing to do, I would call up Brother Earl, and he'd very lovingly tuck me under his wings and really just give me some good advice. And I appreciate his ministry down through the years, particularly as we got to know him after he left the pastorate and moved to Ohio and began a different work there. We got to know him at Bible camp, and those two precious weeks that we have with him at Bible camp each year are very, very special to me. And I know the week that Pastor James is there as well, very special to him. And oftentimes Pastor McGuffey would just sit down and have just a one-on-one with Pastor James, and it's really enlightening to our heart. So I encourage you to be here. Graduation's not going to be that long. In actual fact, it's only four students graduating, and we have the message and things like that. Then afterwards, we're going to have a cake and a punch or whatever the ladies have fixed for us, and then we'll be done for the day. And so would you make an effort to be there at 5 o'clock on Sunday? It'd be a real blessing. Amen. Well, the doors, of course, we'll have unlocked ready at 4 o'clock. The graduates will be here with their families at 4. So if you have your favorite seat, maybe you want to leave your Bible here. I'm not telling you to do that, but I'm just saying, if you have your favorite plot, I can remember the times we go to Crown College of the Bible. Literally, they start lining up an hour before they unlock the doors, don't they? Rain, snow, sleet, or hail, doesn't matter. They're waiting outside. And then as soon as the security guards come and unlock the doors, it's like, get out of the way. It's like stampede. It's like the old Black Friday when they unlock Walmart's door at 4 o'clock in the morning, whatever time it was. And that's the way it was there, but we won't have that problem here. But you just come and be faithful, and come bring your Bible, and I know you'll be blessed by that. I'll be looking at just one verse of Scripture, something God really has placed upon my heart over the last week or so. But don't read too much into the title of the message tonight. Not so long ago, people were born, they grew up, they got jobs and got married, they had families, they grew old, and eventually died without even leaving the town or their general areas where they were born and raised and lived all their life. And it remains that way in some parts of the world still today. People never leave the village where they were born. They never travel outside of their local village, never travel outside of their country or their continent. But listen, it's not that way in America anymore. We're living in a very mobile society. And just this week, we lost a family in a very mobile society, moving from his job here to a job down in New Mexico, to Carlsbad, New Mexico. People will move across the country for their jobs like they did. They'll move across country to go for college or for education. And eventually, sometimes people just move because they just want to move. Amen? You ever know anybody like that? I ask him, well, how long have you been here? Oh, we've been here just 3 years. What brought you here? I don't know. Just Hampton looked good, so we just came here. Sometimes people just move just on a whim. That sounds good, and they're able to do so, and they come here, and they get a job, and they plant themselves. And again, we're living in a very mobile society. Unfortunately, the mindset has extended to other areas of our lives as well. Just not in our jobs, just not for education. I think we have to include spiritual matters as well. Not only do we have people who would hop from church to church, but we also have people that have little concern about what the doctrine, the practices are of those churches that they're moving to. This year marks my 14th anniversary here at Sharon Baptist Church as your senior pastor, and I'm thankful for the calling that God has called me to this church, and you willing to be obedient to that calling. And I said that because I determined this evening that I have decided to stay. Some may see that as discouraging, but I hope it's not discouraging to you. I really would hope that you may find it delightful that the pastor has decided that he's going to stay. Understand this, not only am I going to stay, but I want you to be encouraged to stay as well. If I'm going to stay by the stuff, I want to encourage you to stay by the stuff. I want us to listen to the charge the Apostle Paul gives us to the church at Corinth, found in 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 58. We've gone over this verse several different times, but I think it appropriate for tonight. 1 Corinthians 15, 58. And we find that Paul gives this charge to the church at Corinth. And I want you to follow along as I read it, and then we'll pray, asking God for his divine help as I preach to you on this matter of, will you stay? Will you stay? Paul writing says this, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. If you're in the habit of underlining in your Bible, that'd be a good word to underline. If you have your iPhone out or your iPad, you can highlight that. And then the next word is unmovable. You ought to underline that or highlight that as well. And then we find these words, always abounding. That's another word that'd be beneficial for you to underline or highlight. In the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I cannot tell you how many times this verse has been a great encouragement to this pastor, that no matter what comes, whether it gets the creek rises, it gets too windy to haul rocks, we have this promise from God's word, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain. Basically, Paul says this. He tells us to be steadfast. He tells us to be unmovable, which literally, I say, according to Pastor Dave, means this: stay put and never quit. Stay put and never quit. Let's pray. Father, we come before you this evening. We thank you for this wonderful passage of Scripture. Oh, Father, how it has enlightened my heart down through the years of ministry. Oh, Father, I'm so thankful for the last part of verse 58, that we can know that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. So, Father, I pray now for your people, Father. I ask, Lord, that you would help them to answer this question deep in their hearts. Will you stay? So, Father, as we look at this today, challenge us as only you can do, and we're thankful for the people that were willing to stand and stay steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord here at Sharon Baptist Church. So, Father, we love you and thank you, for it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Notice, first of all, if you're taking notes, that God desires us to be steadfast. He wants us to be steadfast. The dictionary defines that word steadfast as this: firm in our belief and our determination and our adherence. It also gives us the idea of being loyal or faithful. That's a pretty big definition. There's a lot encompassing in that word of being steadfast. Firm in belief, having a determination, an adherence, loyal, or to be faithful. Well, what does that mean literally to you and I? It means this. It has to do with our faithfulness and our service to God. He specifically tells us here that we are to abound. That word abound means to go beyond the norm. So we're not just to be normal, we're to go above the normal in the work of the Lord. I think that's a problem with a lot of people today. And sometimes I find myself as well not abounding in the work of the Lord. I think this, that too many people today just want to be normal Christians. They just want to just get by. They just want to be normal Christians. And I don't know about you, but I'm sick and tired of normal Christians. I'm sick and tired of myself when I find myself to be a normal Christian. I wish that some of our membership, including myself at times, would be abnormal, amen? I'm giving you permission tonight to be abnormal in your work for the Lord. You see, the work of the Lord is way too important just to be normal. The work of the Lord is way too important to just be average in our work. It means reaching people with the simple message of God's love. You know, I love Miss June and Doug's desire, along with many of you others as well, to get the gospel out. So my wife had went to the ladies' baby shower, and praise the Lord, I asked how she did, and she said, oh, God was good, we got all kinds of good stuff. Well, my wife came home with a little packet of stuff in there. I counted. There was like 8 things with the gospel on it, Miss June. 8 things. Trinkets and packets and pens and this and that and a track of our church. And I thought, well, glory to God, amen. Miss June said, Pastor, there's a lot of unsaved people there. I want to make sure they get the gospel. Well, Miss June, they got the gospel. I hope they heard to it and listened to it and read through it. But thank God that you have the desire to reach people with the simple message of God's love. Not only does it mean reaching people, it means teaching people others his way. And thank God for the discipleship ministry here we have at Sharon Baptist Church. Thank God that we have people willing to teach others about his ways. It's one of the most important functions that we have here on this earth outside of leading people to Christ. Reaching them first, and number two, then is teaching them his simple ways. There's a promise to those who are steadfast, unmovable, and abounding in the work of the Lord. Notice what it says. The knowledge that our labor is not in vain. Boy, that maybe that doesn't do anything for you, but I'm telling you what, that last part of that verse just means something to this pastor. We could simply put it this way. Don't waste our time when we invest in the work of the Lord. Sometimes it just seems this, that when we don't see an immediate work or immediate result of our investment, but one day as we see Christ, he'll say to us, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter now thou into the joy of the Lord. I'm thankful for Brother Barry and his testimony. He said, Lord, sometimes we don't see an immediate result of our work, but I thank you that this week we saw an immediate work. I don't want you to be discouraged if you don't see an immediate result to the work that you do. Sometimes it's weeks, months, or even years later. Our bus workers have given testimony at different times that they've been out in Walmart and they've been out in the town, and someone would say, aren't you Miss Debbie? Aren't you Mr. Tim? Aren't you Brother Spencer that used to work on the buses here at Sharon Baptist Church or was the bus captain? And they would say, you know, I rode that bus as a little child. I trusted in Jesus Christ as my Savior. And sure, they saw an immediate work then. But now when they see their faces, when they see your face, they flash back to the time when they had trusted in Christ. I'm so thankful for that. You know, when we hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Listen, we'll be glad that we stayed. We'll be glad that we stayed by the stuff serving him. I'm reminded of that hymn when the chorus goes something like this. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus, amen. Hey, no doubt Miss Daisy very soon is going to say, oh God, it has been worth it all when I see his face. Glory to God. You know, God wants us to serve him no matter what. He wants us to serve him in the good times and the times that we would look at and say bad times, which often really aren't bad. We just think they're bad. In our flesh, we think they're bad, but we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. And so he wants us to serve him in the good times and the seemingly bad times. He wants us to serve him no matter what in the fruitful times when people are getting saved and people are being discipled and the church is increasing, but he also wants us to serve him in the fruitless times when people are not getting saved. We're just plodding on, working in ministry, trusting Christ. He wants us to serve him no matter what in the light, but also in those dark times. Thank God for that. He wants us to serve him when we feel God is right next to us. And then those times, because of our flesh, when we feel God is 100 miles away, although we know he's really not. So we understand this, that he wants us to serve him no matter what. I think this, God doesn't want us to be on again, off again when walking with him. He don't want us to be a servant one day and one not the next day. Serve him here, serve him there. Go through a growth spurt of 3 or 4 weeks and then have nothing in our life. He tells us to be steadfast, which literally means this in Pastor Carroll's own definition. Don't quit or give up. Don't quit or give up. Well, we see that God tells us to be steadfast. But then notice something else. He tells us we are to stay unmovable. Stay unmovable. This is a very similar being steadfast. But there's a difference. The difference is simply this, that word immovable speaks more about what we are than what we do. Steadfast speaks about what we do. Immovable speaks about what we are. It reminds me of the importance of being anchored. I wonder, how many of you have ever been on the ocean in a kayak or a small boat or something along that, and you're out there fishing and having a wonderful time. You drop your anchor off, and you're sitting there, and you're fishing, have a wonderful time. But for some reason, you lose your anchor. And before you know, you start to drift out into the ocean currents, and there's no telling where you might end up. The Apostle Paul talks about being blown about with every wind of doctrine. Turn to Ephesians 4 and verse 14. Ephesians 4 and verse 14. Notice what the Bible says in Ephesians 4 and verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie and wait to deceive. Now listen, my friend, the truth of the matter is you'll not be tossed to and fro with every wind of the doctrine. That will not happen if you make a determination right now to be unmovable. And God desires us as believers, us as Christians, born again, children of God, to have stability in our lives, especially in this matter of doctrine. You know, you think about it, some believers are spiritually immature and spiritually ignorant because they're brand new Christians. We don't really hold that against them. But then there are some who are spiritually immature and spiritually ignorant because they're backslidden on God and they're worldly. And the Corinthian church was really struggling because of the spiritual immaturity of the people that were there. In 1 Corinthians 3, in verse number 1, Paul writes this, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual." I thought about the great the Apostle Paul was. No doubt, it grieved his heart. It doesn't say here, but I just happen to believe, knowing a little bit about Paul's life, studying Paul's life, that this broke his heart. And he says, "Brethren, I could not speak unto you as spiritual." I don't know whether to be true or not, but I can put myself in Paul's shoes. No doubt tears are coming down Paul's face. And he says, "But as unto carnal, even as babes in Christ." You see, the truth is spiritual maturity and a close relationship to Jesus Christ will lead to stability inside your life. And when the Lord is the foundation of your life and you can stand on His truth, guess what? You'll have stability in your life. I'm reminded of a hymn that Edward Mote wrote in 1834. It goes something like this. "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name." Now get this part. "On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand." I'm simply telling you tonight that Christ is our rock. He brings stability into our lives when we trust Him. Just not trust Him, when we rely on Him. The concept really of God as a rock is very well established inside the Old Testament, where it signifies His unchanging nature and His reliability. In Deuteronomy 32 and verse 4, the Bible said, "He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all His ways are judgment. A God of truth without iniquity. Just and right is He." As we move to the book of Psalms, we find that the rock imagery is frequently used to describe God's protection and God's deliverance. Psalm 18, verse 2 tells us this, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower." You see, this portrayal of God as a refuge and a Savior really just foreshadows the New Testament revelation of Jesus Christ as the ultimate source of our eternal salvation. The New Testament also clearly identifies Christ as a rock, building upon that Old Testament foundation laid by the prophets and the psalmists. most of you are familiar with Matthew 16 and verse 18. The Bible said, "And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Those words, "this rock," is not referring to Peter. Now listen, I just know that they just laid Pope Francis to rest. He passed away. He died. They laid him to rest. And the Catholic Church would teach that Peter would be that rock. I'm here to tell you that's false doctrine. That is incorrect. It is not truth. But this rock isn't referring to Peter. It's referring to the confession of faith in Jesus Christ as the Messiah, the Son of the living God, which Peter just made a verse before that. And so the metaphor of Christ as the rock is also conveyed in another way, in the image of the cornerstone or the chief cornerstone. You know, the cornerstone was very critical for construction and ensured that the structure's stability and alignment. I'm reminded of Ephesians 2 and verse 20, where Paul describes the church as being built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. And this passage literally underscores for you and I the security we have and the honor found in trusting Christ, the chief cornerstone of God's redemptive plan for all mankind. Well, we must know, thirdly, what we believe and why we believe it. You know, if we believe something because that's what our church teaches, or if we heard preacher so-and-so say it, or it was on a podcast and we believe it because we heard it on the podcast or some video podcast, listen, when that pastor changes his mind, you'll change your mind. Listen, we listen to internet preachers. We listen to the pastor as he stands and preaches. But listen, our beliefs aren't based upon what I say. Our beliefs are based upon the Word of God, because God's Word will never change. Psalm 118, verse 89 says this, "Forever, O Lord, thy Word is settled in heaven." Psalm 119, verse 89. Jesus said that he is the same yesterday and today and tomorrow. And he is the Word, according to John 1 and verse number 1. Well, we see that God desires us to be steadfast. He desires us to be unmovable. But then notice something else, and then we'll be done. God wants us to stay. Stay with what? Well, I think he desires us to stay with the Savior. Remember when some of the disciples turned back after the hard saying of Christ in John 6 and verse 67, Jesus looked at the 12 and he said this, "Will you also go away?" I want to help you today. Too many people have left him today. Oh, they still may be in church. They may show up every Sunday. They may come the work day, but they have left them. They may still sing. They may teach. They may pray, but as far from him as they can be. It reminds me of what Jesus said in Matthew 15 in verse number 8. He said, "The people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." I'm asking you tonight, where are you at? Is your heart far from the Savior? God desires us to stay, number one, with the Savior. But then, number two, he desires us to stay with the Word. You know, the Bible, God's Word, it's our rule. It's our sole authority of our faith and practice. Everything we believe and everything we put into practice comes from the Word of God. Nothing should come before it in our lives and the decisions that we make. If God is for it, we're for it. If God is against it, we're against it. And if it's not specifically laid out for you in there, there's applications from God's Word that we can use to make the right decisions. Nothing should come before it in our lives. And too many times we allow other things and decisions to come before what God has to say in our lives. You see, John 17:17 tells us his Word is truth. It informs us that we need to be saved. Thank God for that. It explains how to be saved. I'm thankful for that. And provides us with the assurance of our salvation. God's Word is truth. That famous passage of Scripture in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16 sums it up. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. I want to help you out this evening. Stay with the book. Don't replace it with anything or anyone. It will be a disaster in your life if you do. Well, we're going to stay with the Savior. We're going to stay with the book. And then lastly, we're going to stay with the local New Testament church in which God has directed you to. That famous passage of Scripture in Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. All we do for God is to be done in and through the local New Testament church. You realize this, that the local New Testament church is the only organization that God has commissioned to take the gospel to the world? Oh, sure, there's other people that do that, but the local New Testament church is the only one that God specifically commissioned to take the gospel to the world. No other organization has that God's authority to do that. Now, some do it. I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but I'm simply saying this. God has authorized the local New Testament church to take the gospel to a lost and dying world. As we close tonight, I don't know about you, but I made a decision to stay. I just didn't make that decision today. I made that decision a long time ago. But today, I've recommitted my life, work, and ministry here at Sharon Baptist Church, regardless of what may happen or what may not happen. And as for me and my house, we are going to stay. But what about you? What about your house? There's more work to be done, but now there are fewer people willing to do that work. Will you stay with us and continue the work that God has started over 50 years ago here at Sharon Baptist Church? It's not the time to quit. As a matter of fact, it's time to redouble our efforts. Maybe it's time for you to raise your right hand and reenlist in God's service. For some today, you need to take that step and say yes to God. Commit to the work and ministry here at Sharon Baptist Church, where you'll find yourself being steadfast, unmovable, and always abounding in the work of the Lord here at Sharon Baptist Church. I pray you'll find yourself being willing to do that. And when it's all said and done, you'll say simply this: I am going to stay. Let's pray.